Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to two passages of Scripture today. Our first one is found in Romans chapter 9 and verses 15 through 18, where we read these words. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 22, and follow with me in verses 16 and 17. Revelation chapter 22 and verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Our subject today, two important doctrines to know. Down through this series of messages, we're going through the Bible and setting forth the various doctrines that are found in the Word of God. You see, we don't apologize for any one of them. We know that the Word of God is filled with many wonderful, wonderful doctrines, and it's our purpose, as well as our prerogative, to set them forth before you, and we find that our desire is to instruct those of you that listen to this broadcast from time to time. There are two important doctrines in the Scripture that need to be known in their proper perspective. Many today have become warped in their belief and behavior because of a perverted concept of these two important doctrines. We find these doctrines are the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Today, for a few moments, we're going to touch on them for our edification and for our good. Now, whenever we mention the term of God's sovereignty, we find that the average religious person today will allow the Lord God of heaven to be sovereign in everything but salvation. We preach that Christ Jesus died for the elect, and how true that is. Rest assured of one thing, whosoever will may come, we preach that too. But the only ones that are going to come are the ones that the Lord God of heaven draws by his Spirit. Now, many of you jump up and down and you say, oh, we don't believe that. You'd better believe it, because the Word of God teaches it from Genesis to Revelation. To understand this reality, we need to understand the doctrine of God's sovereignty. We find again in Romans chapter 9, and we find in verses 15 through 18, the Word of God brings us the doctrine of God's sovereignty. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now some of you are going to jump up and down, and you're going to say, oh, now, Pastor, wait a minute. You're not preaching John 1:12. Yes, we are, because in John 1:12 and 13, we find the very truth, same truth, set forth. Listen to it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, the vast majority leave out verse 13, and it's tied right in with verse 12 of the first chapter. Now, the doctrine of God's sovereignty we need to set forth today, and we have to understand what the term sovereignty means. Now, the sovereignty of God means that God is supreme in power, superior in position to all others. He's independent of, and he's unlimited by any other, possessing original and independent authority or jurisdiction. In other words, God does what he pleases, and when he pleases. Now let me prove that, if I may. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we find in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 12, the Word of God brings out this very great truth. Listen to it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10 down through verse 12. Listen to what David said. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now take your Bibles again, if you will, and turn to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4, we find Daniel says almost the same thing that David said. You see, the sovereignty of God was known by the Old Testament writers. Now, when you argue against God's sovereignty, my radio friend, whoever you may be, rest assured of one thing, you're arguing against the Lord God of heaven, you're arguing against his authority, you're arguing against his position, and you are trying to put God at the footstool of you and yourself on the throne, and that is satanic to the core. Now, in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34 and 5, Nebuchadnezzar learned this after 7 years of being insane. When he came to his senses, we read in Daniel 4:34, And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Beloved, this is the sovereignty of God. Now we find very clearly, what does it mean? The sovereignty of God not only tells us that God is superior in power, superior in position to all others, he's independent of and unlimited by any other, and he possesses original and independent authority or jurisdiction. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants on the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Now let's go into the sovereignty of God for just a moment or two. We find in the doctrine of God's sovereignty, we find that the Lord God of heaven is sovereign in his dealings with nature. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, the Word of God brings it out beautifully, where we read these words. Matthew 5, verse 43, Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Here we see God is sovereign in his dealings with nature. He sends the rain, he sends the cold, he sends the sunshine, he sends it on the wicked, he sends it on the saved. He's sovereign in his dealing with nature. Now, the majority of you will agree with me at this point. You say, yes, I believe that God is sovereign. He's sovereign in his dealings in nature. All right. The second thing we want to call your attention to is this, that our Lord is sovereign also in his dealing in salvation. Listen again, Romans chapter 9 and verses 15 through 18, where we read, For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now the Lord God of heaven is sovereign in his dealing in salvation. Now what in the world are we talking about? Some of you listening to me at this hour are seeking the Lord, aren't you? God has opened your heart. He's dealing with you. He's making you know and understand what it means to be a sinner before him. You're not only a sinner, you're a hell-deserving sinner. And you're wondering why the judgment of God doesn't fall upon you. But at the same time, there's a hunger in your heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's stop right here. How come God's doing it to you and not to everybody? There's only one reason. The God of heaven is sovereign in salvation. You see, my Lord saves whom he will and when he will and where he will. And God has chosen a number. That number is known unto him. That number is fixed and irrevocable. That number is the number of God's elect. And every one of God's elect are going to be saved. Not a one of them are going to be lost, because if they are, then the Lord Jesus told a lie. And the Lord Jesus cannot lie. Listen to what he said in John chapter 6 and verse 39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now people jump up and down and said, oh, if I believed with that, if I believed that way, I wouldn't tell anybody, I wouldn't talk to anybody. Well, my friend, it's because you don't understand what we're setting forth before you. God is sovereign in his dealing with salvation. He comes upon a sinner like the wind, and the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. Now don't gnash your teeth out there. You listen to me, because you need to be told the truth. And many of you today, you profess to know Christ, and yet you deny the Lord God of heaven his rightful authority and his place on the throne. My friend, God doesn't have to save anybody. Did you know that? The wonder of our redemption is not that God saves many, but the wonder of our redemption is that the Lord God of heaven saves any. And you ought to be in that number. Oh, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, don't think that you have the privilege and the power and the position to be saved when you feel like it. No, sir, my friend, you're going to be saved when God saves you, and not until then, because the Lord God of heaven is a sovereign God. And, beloved, rest assured of one thing, he doesn't have to save you. Now, our Lord is sovereign in his dealings with nature. He's sovereign in his dealing with salvation. He is also sovereign in his dealing with believers and with the nations of this earth. Now, what does God think about the nations of this earth? In Isaiah chapter 40, we find the Word of God brings it out very clearly for our learning. Isaiah chapter 40, listen to what it says, if you will, and verses 15 down through verse 22 or 24. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Now our Lord is sovereign in his dealing with the nations. With some he gives gospel privileges, with others he has passed them by. And my friend, if you're an American to me, listening to me at this hour, you better get on your knees and thank the Lord God of heaven that you've been born in a country where the Word of God is still being proclaimed. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that the Lord God is a sovereign God. Now, my friend, at this hour, I want to tell you something else. God also is sovereign with his dealings, in his dealings with believers. Take your Bibles now and turn to Acts chapter 12, and you'll find here in Acts chapter 12, and we're going to blow this theory apart, so to speak, because we find today that people are told that whenever you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, well, rest assured of one thing, everything good is going to happen to you, and nothing ever bad is going to take place in your life. Well, they just don't understand what God says. In Acts chapter 12, we find in verses 1 through 19, this is what took place. Listen, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Now, James was put to death. Peter was put in prison. But did you notice one thing? God redeemed Peter out of that prison. Yes, he did. He rescued him, and we find he allowed James to be put to death. Now, you let this soak in, my friend. God deals with individuals, or I should say, with believers, according to his sovereignty. Some, he allows them a wonderful time, and we find some of them hardly ever have any sickness, whatever. And we find also others, our Lord brings sickness into their pathway. And we find that through it all, God proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that his grace is sufficient. And this is something that believers ought to know. Last of all, we'll see that God also is sovereign with his dealings with Israel. People today don't understand the nation of Israel. The Jewish people are hated and hounded across this world, and how significant it is that no matter what good they do, nobody ever gives them credit for it. Well, rest assured of one thing, God knows, and my radio friend, in this closing moment, you better understand this, because it's time for you to recognize the sovereignty of the Lord God of heaven. Listen, friend, I urge you again, you look at the Word of God, and I say to you very kindly, the Word of God is plain. It teaches the doctrine of God's sovereignty. And my hope and my prayer is that you understand what in the world I'm talking about. God is sovereign with Israel, and God will not allow the nation of Israel ever to be destroyed. Because in Jeremiah chapter 31, and we find in verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon, and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves are uproar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Now in this closing moment, let me say to you very kindly, do you know Christ? Oh, if you don't, my hope and prayer is that something has been said that will bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.